That first night, they camp on the cooling sands. They have eaten and are seated close to the campfire, blankets huddled around their shoulders, packs resting beside them, sleeping rolls already laid out. Yet neither of them wishes to sleep. This place is so strange that they relish each other's company as never before. Lannery fears the dreams such utter silence might bring. Reflecting on the fight with the Hook Hawks, she stares across the fire and sees movement in the shadows beyond. Tensing, nudging Dale, she realizes that he is also alert to the movement. Lannery stands. Dale crouches. Firelight flickers from something, and a nightmare slashes into their camp. Silic lizard, she thinks. Rare but deadly, these silicon-based creatures absorb energy from the sand itself, but have been known to supplement their diets with mammalian spinal fluid. The size of a human adult, they are viciously spiked beasts, six-limbed and capable of charging on their hind legs. Encounters with them are often fatal. For some, Seelics are much-prized hunting trophies. For the second time in half a day, they must face a terrible danger. Lannery is so shocked by its appearance that she freezes. Sparks scrape from its extremities as it lopes toward her. Its curved claws dig into the sand and splash up bleeding flames, and its mouth falls open to display crystalline teeth beyond counting. The complete silence of the attack is perhaps the most shocking aspect, and Lannery opens her mouth in a soundless scream. The lizard leaps through the fire, scattering burning brands around it and throwing up a confusion of sparks. Force punch! Push it back! Shove it back! Lannery thinks, but her instincts are petrified by disbelief. That she will die so soon after beginning her journey, victim of such a beast! A flash lights up the night, and the scattered campfire seems to erupt with new life. The terrifying creature twists and squirms away, slicing shadows with its limbs and slipping through them to safety. One heartbeat it is there, the next gone, and Lannery turns a quick circle to try to see where the next attack will come from. Dale is holding his laser blaster. Its muzzle is still warm. No, she wants to say, because she is meant to protect him. Her limbs quiver in fright, and as she starts to draw in her senses and balance herself within the force, the darkness beyond Dale sparkles with 100 dancing stars. Lannery opens her eyes wide as she tries to form a force punch. But her fear is still a barrier, seemingly muting the force as this desert mutes sound. Dale crouches and spins, alerted by Lannery's reaction, and the night is lit by 3 blaster shots in quick succession. The Seelic lizard spins a full circle as it powers from the darkness. It hits the ground close enough for Lannery to kick. Dale's gunfire and the creature's fall are silent. Her brother is still aiming the weapon at the lizard. He's shaking slightly, his eyes wide as if he can't quite believe what he's done. It is an old weapon, bequeathed him by his grandfather, and Lannery has always dismissed it as clumsy and unreliable compared to the Force. Now, though, it has saved them both. The lizard's head hangs by a thread. Its blood is dust. She embraces Dale and tries to speak into his ear, "Thank you." Even as she does so, she is troubled and ashamed at her hesitation. Perhaps after the Hook Hawks, she was too confident in her abilities. Misplaced pride has no place in the heart of a true Jedi. They drag the Seelic lizard away from their camp and bury it to prevent interest from carrion creatures. The burial is silent, even the shush of sand between their fingers unheard. Before sand covers its face, the beast stares past them at the glorious night sky with violet eyes. 40 days out from home, not having even reached the first temple, and already their lives have twice been endangered. Lannery thinks of the long journey still ahead, the perils they will face, the distances they will travel on water, in the air, and largely on foot. For the first time since leaving their parents, she wishes for home. That night in her dreams, Lannery sees great shapes rising out of the desert, sculptures in sand that live in a manner beyond her comprehension, feeding on sound and taking sustenance from every whispered word, each expression of love or fear. In the morning, the desert around them has changed in profile. There are three humped mounds of sand close by, and she wonders what watched them sleep. They march hard for the next 2 days. In the afternoon of their third day in the desert, they see curved rock spires rising from the landscape far ahead and know that they mark the location of Qigong Kesh. Lannery feels a rush of excitement, but she has also seen the hollows about this place. As the desert steals sound, so its dry, scorching atmosphere also muddles distance. The temple could still be another 4 days away. They walk on, traveling by day, camping by night, watchful for danger and barely sleeping. When they arrive at last, they are tired, hungry, disoriented. The silence has become a great weight crushing them down. Even communicating by sign language is an effort, and for the last 2 days, Lannery has felt so alone, even with her brother constantly by her side. But the sight of the giant rock spires and the mysterious Tho Yor floating between them brings a sense of anticipation. "We're here at last," Lannery thinks. "Qigong Kesh!" The temple is below ground in a network of natural caverns and tunnels. Beneath the desert, they will be able to speak, to hear once more. As they pass within the shadow of one of the massive rock spires, several Jedi guards emerge from a cavern in its vast base. They look Lannery and Dale up and down, smile, and hold out 2 canteens of cool, fresh water. Then they take the exhausted brother and sister down beneath the desert. Here, in a huge cavern, lies the majestic Temple of Qigong Kesh, where the arcane, mysterious, and enlightening training in force skills will commence. It is here that Dalian Brock's fall will begin. Chapter 3: The Good and the Great. Not every journeyer will come.